tens of thousands of handmade medals have been manufactured in the last few months by artists and jewellers in over 60 countries in order to honour frontline workers and caregivers during the COVID-19 pandemic. This month, distribution began of the hand-shaped medals, all from the same template, but made of whatever metal the makers had available, all stamped with a number, so recipients can look up the jeweller who made their medal. Artist, jeweller, teacher Iris Eichenberg is one of the initiators of the Hand Medal Project, and she's on the line from Massachusetts. Hi, Iris, how are you?
I'm fine, I'm good. I hope I also find you well.
I'm very well.
Your morning, and it's my evening.
Yes. You were in New Zealand quite shortly before the pandemic broke out, weren't you?
Yeah, I think I left around the 17th of February, and I wish I would have stayed longer and be part of the lockdown in New Zealand. For sure, a better place than the rest of the world.
What were you doing here?
I was part of a project which is called Handshake, organized by Peter Deckers and Hildegard Scott. And it's, I would say it's an exchange mentor program with people who are on the way in their career, or they already have quite an established career, and they get the chance to get mentored and have a conversation with somebody they admire or they are inspired by. And I was there to give two workshops to two groups of women and two men who were just amazing. I think they were in between 22 and 60, and I had an amazing time with those groups. So that's why I was in New Zealand, to do those workshops, and I had an exhibition, and I gave some talks, and had the chance to meet the New Zealand jewellery scene.
So Handshake, just for a moment dwelling on that, it's a mixture of collaboration and mentoring and some very fruitful jewellery has come out of it, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah, amazing. I think it's an initiative which not just supports all the makers, but it also refreshes their energy, inspiration, it motivates them. It has put, I think, New Zealand jewellery making again on the world map, and I think that it has opened the doors for a lot of makers to have contact.
Peter Deckers deserves credit for that. This is not the subject of this interview, by the way, but he does deserve credit for that. He's retiring. Thanks to the
I know.
Thanks to the Fitzroy Polytechnic turning its jewellery department into some kind of rump. And leaving no space for jewellery in its agenda anymore, essentially.
I think we will regret those decisions in the future. And the problem is that once a program like that has disappeared, it is really hard to start again. But I think those are the mistakes of this time.
Meanwhile, the Hand Medal Project. If people can go on our website, they can see some pictures of the medals themselves. How did this start?
I think it started me being anxious, nervous, helpless. I think, first of all, feeling really helpless at the beginning of the corona COVID. I think I started thinking about it in the beginning of March, and I had a rough idea where I thought, what could you do without money involved to honor people who actually put their lives on the line, work endless hours, and pay an enormous price to be a health caretaker, a health worker? So I have a friend, Jimena Rios, in Buenos Aires, and we've been working together before, and I'm good with ideas, and she is amazing to put the wind and the power behind ideas. So I called her and we talked, and then And then we really sort of, I don't know if grassroots is the right word, but naively sort of started to think, how can we reach a lot of people? How can we reach the wide, broad network all over the world we both have? And we sat down and started calling friends all over the world. And you probably heard about Renee and Mandy R. The people I called in New Zealand, it was amazing how supportive everybody was. I think that was really the silver lining of the time, to see that people didn't think very long and they were immediately on board. Because we needed in all these countries people who would collect, and we also needed the network of all these people. And from there, it spread. And we had a graphic designer who helped, somebody to build a website. So I think we spent probably 3-4 weeks preparing all that. And then we contacted people over Instagram and Facebook and had a website where people could register, which in the end, I think if we would do it again, I think it was very naive of us to think that we could register 3,000 people by hand, which meant that we had to look them up. We needed to know where they are. We needed to connect them with somebody in the area. We needed to send their addresses forwards and backwards. And that was very analog. And it was, I would call it time-consuming, but it was a slow-down process. And so you literally had with all these people contacts through mails. And then from there, it grew. I think we started with something like 10 countries, and then people contacted us, and friends told friends, and people saw the project, and then it just grew. And I think we always had an end date. We always had a date where we thought we're going to work and live towards that moment, and then we want the momentum and the energy of everybody involved together. And but little did we know at that time that the 8th of November, which is a special day for me, little did we know that we would not be at the end of COVID, but we would be right in the midst of it. But it's also a moment what we experienced where a lot of healthcare workers were tired. The attention they got in the beginning had worn down. People were disgruntled, angry, frustrated. And so there was in the last few weeks very little support. So I think it was good to stick to that date. And so that was the date where we decided to start handing them out, giving them.
Why is November the 8th a special day for you?
For some personal reason, there's also, I think that everybody in America had an experience of having a president elected on that day, and I always thought it would be amazing to have a counter experience to that. So Trump was elected on the 8th of November, so I think...
Not the 3rd of November.
What?
Not the 3rd of November.
No, that is Biden. Trump was elected on the 8th of November.
Oh, I see what you mean, in 2016.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So I always thought it would be great if the world could remember that day for totally different reasons.
This is a banal observation, but the hand is a brilliant symbol of a number of things, right? The hands are used to care and to make things. You've got the necessity of washing them during the epidemic, and you've also got the idea, they were used to applaud care workers, and certainly in the UK. I don't know about the United States. They're just the most wonderful kind of part of the anatomy, aren't they?
They are, and it's not just like you give one community who uses the hand, gives to another community who uses the hand. But if you also look into different groups of belief, the hand is a symbol for care across all kind of demographics, religions, So it is really something everybody can share. It's not claimed by one group of people.
And who drew up the template that all the makers of the hands received?
So this template is based on... So Hermina has a beautiful collection of old ex-voters. And those ex-voters are those hands, legs, arms, which you offer to a place, which you bring to a place of faith. If you wish for something, if you long for something, but you also bring them there if you show your gratitude. So it's a collection of those silver and metal ex-voters, and we choose this hand because it was the most modest, humble, generic hand you could think of. It's not made by somebody who's known. It's an anonymous maker. So it is something which was basically approachable there for everybody. It was also something everybody with a little technique could cut out, because that was important. As the makers are, you have super skilled makers, you have people who are since 50 years in the profession, but you also have people who have just learned the technique. A lot of students had it as their first assignment ever to use a saw. So in that way, it was something everybody could do, and that was very, very important. The people who joined were like famous artists, and they were not so famous artists, but they were also makers who normally would have no engagement with the art world or the craft world or the design world. So in that aspect, I think we cut through so many demographics, but also groups of people. And it's when you think about 3,000 people registered, that kind of group you hardly ever bring together. Normally you always have a different agenda, organizing something, but this agenda was only giving, making together and then giving it. I'm talking about the giving, but the important thing of the giving was also that we all make together and then we hand it over to the receiver, then we hand it over to the healthcare workers, and they share the moment with each other. So we brought those boxes with medals to hospitals, but then it was a group, a shift, or an entire hospital, a group of traveling nurses, people in soup kitchens, and they shared the moment of receiving with each other, because something I found very, very important was that there was no ego involved and it was not about the artist actually making it.
Yes, that's interesting. That is interesting. So the only identification is a number on them, and should people choose, they can look up the artist. But it is all about the gesture and not about the object per se.
No, but it's not the object, but I do think you need objects to encapsulate those things.
Yeah, yeah.
It sort of embodies the gift. But it is not about the preciousness or the value of the metal. It is about the preciousness in terms of that it has been made. There were a lot of moments where companies approached us and said, like, oh, we can laser cut 50,000 or whatever. But we found it really important that there was no money involved and that there was also no corporations involved, that it isn't a commodity, that you can't buy it, that people shouldn't make it to sell it, that it really is like one of those things in this world where everything is blending into mainstream capitalism, that it really was an act of gifting and not being corrupted by any kind of corporation or... And every hand is made also. The time spent, I think, is so important. The time spent with making the hand is also... time spent thinking about healthcare workers, time spent about the other person who will get it, and we tried to keep that as pure as possible.
It's an extraordinary project. Have you seen people wearing them?
I've seen it. I've seen it. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of poses on Instagram. And if you want to look it up, it is called Hand Metal with a D, Hand Metal Project on Instagram. And you see all the nurses and doctors and healthcare workers, cleaners of hospitals wearing their medals. But I have not seen it because I found it very important to hand the medals off in front of the hospital or hand it over to head of nursing or a healthcare worker. So I've not been in hospitals seeing people wearing them. I think especially right now they need all the attention. They're so stressful. They don't need artists running around in hospitals feeling happy about themselves.
Very nice to talk to you, Iris. Great project, and it's had a worldwide impact. Iris Eichenberg, who is an artist and a jeweller. We've been talking about the Hand Medal Project. And our website will take you to pictures of the hand medals and to links that Iris was mentioning.